I guess they're saying that fat people, fat guys should feel good about themselves. Is that what Planned Parenthood is saying here? Hey, greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob Benyart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. We'll get to this Planned Parenthood tweet of a fat guy with the caption, "The size of your body doesn't define your worth." Oh, boy. And then all the comments. How about little people? How about the babies in the womb, you tone-deaf child killers? And then there's this sad study, loneliness. An alarming number of seniors over in England go the entire week without talking to a single person. And I'd like to share with you a brief observation about that. And then there is this media initiative, the BBC, Google, Facebook. They're going to govern fake news. And that's what? That's the fox guarding the hen house. Then there's this, a study on why marriage rates are plummeting. And they think it has to do with economics. That's a minor factor. The major factor is what happened in the Netherlands when they started with homosexual marriage and then real marriage fell off the charts. Same thing now everywhere. The Weinstein case with its twists and turns in the Me Too movement, Harvey Weinstein, Lisa Bloom had been representing him. She had been representing women who were sexually harassed. And then he's paying her $1,000 an hour to try to destroy the reputations of some of his victims. And if you recall, Lisa Bloom and I briefly interacted on my case when I was severely sexually harassed on the set of a Fox News Channel program for which their executive vice president of human resources, Kevin Lord, called and apologized. So I want to talk about that and some of the twists and turns in the Weinstein case, including one woman who has sued him. This isn't the criminal case. He's facing life in prison. But one woman who sued him and apparently exaggerated his mistreatment of her and how that hurts so many other victims, and it harms, it undermines the success of the Me Too movement. And also with the New York Times, when they're listing true victims of sexual assault, and then they include Christine Blasey Ford, how horrific that is with her false accusations against Brett Kavanaugh. And of course, we have opposed Kavanaugh. So hopefully we're able to assess such accusations objectively. Our annual telethon, the goal is $40,000, and we're at $5,800. Thank you so much, everyone who's given. I'd like to share a couple emails from, let's see, Pitcairn, Pennsylvania, Palmer, Massachusetts. This one, maybe I'll mention this one first. This is from a detective. And there's some personal information here, so I don't want to divulge it. But let me say this. This detective, longtime listener of Bob Benyart Live, many years ago went through a divorce. His young son lived through that, very young, and grew up with Bob Benyart Live. And he says now, all these years later, his son is doing extremely well professionally. He's a pilot. He plays a role in the defense of our country. And the detective dad says he loves the Lord and he's a BEL junkie. So, oh no, wait a minute. If he really is a BEL junkie, he'll hear me saying this. Oops. Well, if you talk to your dad, tell him I said hi. I hope you guys don't mind. I shared that little bit on the air. But this from Pitcairn, Pennsylvania, Stephen T. writes in, because BEL is currently conducting a telethon, he used this occasion, he went to our store, store.kgov.com, to the subscriptions, and now we've been able to add $500 to our current level with the telethon. So thank you, Stephen, so very much. And he writes, thank you all very much for the incredible jobs that the BEL crew continuously performs to keep this program and outreach possible. May the Lord bless you all. Stephen T. from Pennsylvania. And then this from Palmer, Massachusetts. This is from Chris L. Chris writes, I just finished listening to your Bible study on 1 Kings. It was so very interesting. I learned so much. I'm now getting the next study. I've been bouncing back and forth with the Bob and Yurt Live Bible studies between the Old and New Testament. Very enjoyable. I play the recordings on my phone as I take my daily walk. I intend to listen to all of them and make my own way through the Bible. So neat. Chris, thanks for this encouragement. He says, Bob, I heard the show last week. You were talking about the radio stations you've been on. First time I ever heard Bob and Yurt Live was out of Springfield, Massachusetts. On AM 560, this was just after 9/11, it was so refreshing to hear normal truth spoken without sugarcoating or apology. I was so happy to finally hear, and by the way, that reminds me of something that just happened with Drew Brees. Boy, the guy can't win for losing, right? He makes a 23-second video to encourage kids to bring their Bibles to school, and it all blows up. And anyway, the sugarcoating or the apologies that Christians often make when they say something valid. So here's Chris in Massachusetts saying, I was so thrilled to hear truth without that stuff. And I was so happy to finally hear something worth listening to, bold and substantive. Now, I shouldn't be reading this. It's a bit rude of me in a way. But our telethon has a vital goal of $40,000 to keep us on the air for another year. And we really do need your help. And so it's encouraging to hear just in a day these examples of people whose lives have been affected. Chris says, that station took your show off the air. Now I use the internet to listen to the radio show with my iPhone and podcast make it so very easy. This is life-changing radio. Thanks so much. Be well, Chris. And thank you, Chris, very much. Chris is a professional out there in Massachusetts. So, yes, you can call us 1-800-8-NYART. That's E-N-Y-A-R-T, so 800-8-NYART, or 800-836-9278, or go to our website, kgov.com, kgov.com. Click on the store and either subscribe or donate or get some of our resources, and anything this month will go toward the telethon goal and subscriptions. In automatic monthly donations, they get multiplied by 10 as we apply that toward the goal of $40,000. There's a study out about senior citizens in England, and it says that an alarming percentage of senior citizens go the entire week without speaking to anyone. Look at all the lonely people. We know where they all came from. That is just so devastating. Now, is my Connie, is she here? She's not in the offices. Is she here in the studio anywhere? She's playing tennis, right? She's playing tennis. Mom and Pops passed away a year and a half ago. And people used to say, where are Mom and Pops? And I'd say, well, they're either at the doctor, they're just coming back from the doctor, or they're going to the doctor. So, but Mom's not at the doctor's office, right? She's playing tennis. That's awesome. I think this is the first day of this current indoor tennis season. Well, my mom has four kids and a lot of grandkids and great-grandkids. And she interacts with her kids. Two of them live locally here in the Denver area, one in Chicago, one in South Carolina. And she interacts with her kids daily. Now, not everyone wants to do that with all their kids. People are different. But my mom loves that, and she's lost Pops, so it's especially wonderful. And the kids in our family, my brothers and my sister, they talk with my mom pretty much daily, pretty much 365 days a year. Mom, how are you doing? How's the washing machine doing? You said the door wasn't shutting correctly. Could we get that fixed for you? And so on. And wonderful relationships, but that's not true of everyone, right? Some people are truly lonely, and many seniors who say that they want to go to a nursing home, those who say that, it's so tragic. What they mean is that they're afraid of being rejected by their children who, you know, grandma, grandpa, mom, dad raised you for about 20 years, count 9 months in the womb too. So about 20 years, and we typically, I'm saying we as the culture, typically don't want to take care of mom and dad for 1 year or 3 years or 10 years or whatever. So in this case, the loneliness of senior citizens over in England, I commented under that study and said about loneliness that Jesus warned people. Now, see if you can figure out how this relates, or I'll connect it. But Jesus warned people to watch out for the bad behavior of his own followers. Now, that alone provides evidence of his identity. So, yes, Christianity has problems. Yet, the consequences were far beyond anything imagined by those who advocated a secularized Europe. When they kicked Jesus Christ out of the culture in Europe, they never fathomed the consequences. And this loneliness, when there are no church families, local church families, Bible churches, neighborhood churches, there are no such things. The churches have become nightclubs or mosques. And Christ being removed from the culture in Europe has had a destructive influence on the humanity that we should be sharing with one another. Very destructive, devastating. Preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ is not only one of the most significant things you could do for national defense, for justice, for domestic tranquility, to promote the general welfare, to secure the blessings of liberty, right? You think you need the Constitution to do those things? Primarily, you need the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when you preach the gospel, the blessings that flow from Christians honoring God and obeying God and loving their neighbor, it's impossible to quantify what they are. And the loneliness of these seniors is one symptom of the lack of the gospel permeating that society in England. There's also the news out of why marriage rates are down, and this study blames the lack of economically attractive men. And certainly that's a factor. That's partially valid because of delayed adolescence, men spending 15 years as adults, their first 15 years playing games. That's like their primary goal is to play games. And to the extent that that is their priority, to that extent, they're not maturing economically, and they don't make especially appealing mates for young women. So that is a factor. It's a valid factor, but it's not the primary factor. The primary factor is what happened. This is a pattern, and it started in the Netherlands. Now, primarily, it's sexual immorality that is decimating marriage and harming children who grow up with a mom who's not married to their dad. And that's devastating to the child. But in the Netherlands, add to that sexual immorality then something alleged something called homosexual marriage, this pretend institution, homosexual marriage. And you add that, and then real marriage falls off the charts because marriage loses its significance. It loses its holiness in the eyes of the culture. It loses what makes it so important. It becomes just a piece of paper and a status before the government. That's all it is. If homos could marry, what if they start allowing people to marry their dogs and their horses? You think that would have an effect on the perception of marriage in the culture? Of course it would. If they legalize marrying your animal, as believe me, there are any number of perverts who would do that if they could. They haven't been marching down Main Street yet, right? The bestiality, the perverts, homosexuals and others who advocate sex with animals. Well, wait a minute. They're the pervert furries, right? And in Times Square, just this weekend, there was some pervert dressed up as a Sesame Street character, Elmo, who got arrested for sexually assaulting a young girl. Bunch of perverts. Those furries are perverts. Anyway, they're not exactly marching down Main Street demanding their right to have sex with animals. But if they did, believe me, there'd be each county, each state would have their fair share of morons and evil people who'd want to marry their pets. So it's a way to diminish marriage in the eyes of the culture, you know, who was it? The ancient Greek philosopher who said, I think it was Solon of Athens, who said, each of you individually walk with the steps of a fox, but taken together, your mind is void, right? The mob. And democracy is mob rule. That's what it is. And it's the ever-decreasing morals of the culture taking over public policy and governance. So as Christians with a Christian worldview, when we see the news, we can properly assess the news. But we can't live out a Christian worldview unless we first have a Christian worldview. The first thing you need to do if you want to exercise your Christian worldview is to have a Christian worldview. And that's something that's not taught in our Christian colleges, universities, and even our ministries that teach a Christian worldview. Here at Bob and Yurt Live, you know, we expose the liberal and the conservative, and we point out when their public school is showing. And so often we see compromise after compromise after compromise. And those Christian ministries that promote a Christian worldview, many of them confuse that with a very temporal and failed experiment known as the U.S. Constitution. I mean, our country devolved into wickedness at practically light speed. And Christians have been sold a bill of goods and said that it's the Constitution that would save us if only we return to the Constitution. No, it's God that'll save us if only we return to Him and His Word. So I mentioned poor Drew Brees, right? The quarterback for the New Orleans Saints, NFL quarterback. And makes me think of Tim Tebow, too. These are people, boy, Tim Tebow, Doug McBurney and I, we spent years, you know, loving the influence that Tim Tebow has had on the culture. But it was such a sad time when he was scheduled to speak at a big Southern Baptist church in Texas. I think that's the pastor, Robert Jeffress. And the media pointed out that Jeffress said something, you know, so gentle and tender, rebuking homosexuals. There's no way he would say anything other than as gentle as could be. I mean, I think he's on our superfluous list of Christians going gay, right? Not that that list isn't Christians who actually themselves are homosexual, but who are supporting homosexuality in some way. And Robert Jeffress, because he's thrown in the towel on homosexual marriage and said there's no sense in fighting it, it's just a done deal. So how about with slavery? If he was there, how about when the Germans were killing the Jews? Would he have said there's no sense in fighting anti-Semitism in Germany. It's just, I mean, it's everywhere. It's ubiquitous. Would he have said that about slavery? There's no sense in fighting slavery. Does he say that about child killing? There's no sense in fighting abortion. It's everywhere. Even the Trump administration has given Planned Parenthood over $1 billion. Now they're finally trying to perhaps not fund them, but they've given them well over $1 billion so far. And when you say you want to defund someone, like defund ISIS, step one is don't give them $1 billion. That'd be step one. But anyway, hopefully we'll get to that point. So Tim Tebow was scheduled to speak at Jeffress Church, and the media reports this tender little rebuke of homosexuality. And so they come at Tim Tebow for speaking at a hate church, and Tebow cancels. Instead of saying, as a Christian, I love homosexuals enough to warn them that they are destroying themselves. They're in rebellion against Jesus Christ, who made them male and female. And everyone they influence will be harmed if they don't repent and turn to the Lord. Wouldn't that have been awesome for Tim Tebow to say that? But when someone who has the influence and really the wealth and the authority and the force of a Tim Tebow is scared to death of homosexuals, scared to death, then that defines almost the entire Christian leadership. And so poor Drew Brees in the middle of all that. He makes a 23-second video, Bring Your Bibles to School Day, right? That was it. Hey, you're a Christian, be bold. Next week, bring your Bible to school. It's National Bring Your Bibles to School Day. And so you're not alone, right? You're not alone. There are other Christians out here and who love the Bible. Bring your Bible to school. Now, it would have been far better to do a video that said, don't go to school day. Hey, next week, don't go to school. Stay home and read your Bible. In fact, talk to your mom, your dad, and tell them you don't want to go to school ever again. It's a godless school, and get you a Christian education like they should. That would be way better. But he does this little 23-second Bring Your Bible to School Day, and he gets blasted because at the bottom it says bringyourbible.com, which is a Focus on the Family website. And so the media says, look what you've done. You're supporting hate. You're supporting a hate group because Focus on the Family, they tried to convert homosexuals into heterosexuals. That conversion therapy, that's all hate. And so Drew Brees does everything he could to spin this. Instead of saying, look, homosexuality is sinful, and I love them enough to tell them the truth. And Jesus said that God made them male and female. Instead of doing any of that, he first tried to deflect by saying, hey, that video I did, it didn't say anything about hate or homosexuals, nothing about that. It was just bring your Bible to school. You know, the Bible says homosexuals should be put to death. So the media, they weren't exactly convinced by that argument, and it actually wasn't a defense. Drew Brees, he makes a lot of money. He should be good at reading a good defense. Shouldn't he be good at reading a good defense, know when a defense is strong or not? He should be. Well, he said that I didn't know that Focus on the Family did anything like this or may have done. I didn't know anything about that. Look at the video. But see, that's a bad defense. Because if he had made a video that said, bring your sons to football practice, it's good for them to get outside, get off their video games, and have them try out for football. If he did that, and it was sponsored by the KKK, would it be a defense to say, well, my video didn't talk about hate and racism and lynching. My video was just about football practice. That would not be a defense. Because it would be indefensible to make an ad on behalf of a racist organization. So his first reaction defense was not valid. The media wasn't satisfied. So then he went to his second defense was, I don't know anything about this hate stuff. I would never support any group that was a hate organization. I don't know anything about Focus on the Family doing anything like this, and I would never support hate. So in other words, he conceded their point that if a Christian organization urges homosexuals to repent, that that's hate. That's hate, and that's nothing he would ever be associated with. So then we've devolved, per Drew Brees' defense, to figuring out, well, is Focus on the Family a hate group? And should he have known that they're a hate group? Because they have pointed out that homosexuality is a sin and it needs to be repented of. Now, they still do hold that position, don't they? I think they're still against homosexual dental care. I think they pretty much support almost everything else. They said a while back that they did not oppose a homosexual Supreme Court justice. We blasted them for that, and then they retracted that. But that was their position. And they said that homosexuals should have equal rights. How fast it's gone from being criminal to being criminal not to support homosexuals. How fast? I mean, if history had a head, its head would be spinning. And Focus on the Family has been part of that paradigm shift by literally advertising equal rights for homosexuals. People forget that they did that, but that's what they did. And we don't forget. We've got it at Focus on the History of Homosexual Rights. If you just Google that, Focus on the History of Homosexual Rights, you'll see it. And what's more destructive to the family, to the child growing up, to the nation? What is more destructive? Is it Islamic terror or homosexuality? Which destroys more lives in America? How about pornography? Which destroys more lives, Islamic terrorism or pornography? And the church has completely thrown in the towel on pornography, with Focus on the Family telling us that it's a free speech right to make pornography and forgetting that much of it is prostitution and it should be criminal to traffic in human sexuality. They forget all that. They want to regulate pornography, literally, with James Dobson on the Presidential Commission on Pornography. Literally want to regulate it. How do you do that? So the Weinstein case, with its twists and turns, we're about out of time. Let me get to that tomorrow. Lisa Bloom, she is Gloria Allred's daughter, if you know the name of that terrorist, feminist attorney, Gloria Allred. She makes, is it a cameo appearance in my novel, The First 5 Days? She's one of the people that don't survive the novel. Isn't that true? She doesn't make it to the end. Yeah, that's right. It's more than a cameo. So Gloria Allred is in a novel I wrote a couple decades ago called The First 5 Days. And in that novel, the names are not changed to protect the guilty. Why would we want to change the names? So many of the characters in the novel, we use their real names. It's interesting. Anyway, Lisa Bloom, Fox News, O'Reilly, that whole story and the twists and turns and the women who have been doing harm to the Me Too movement. Want to get to that tomorrow, including our tangential relationship when Fox News called to apologize for what they had done to me on the air. It's all fascinating. That'll be tomorrow, Lord willing, on our website, KGOV.com. Please help with the telethon if you possibly can. May God bless you.